You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church. Welcome, Riverside friends. My name is Isla, and as a church, we are getting near the end of our deep journey through the book of Hebrews. We're going to start the last chapter of Hebrews today, chapter 13. And to help us understand this passage in a deeper way, we're going to look further into the story of a hero of faith who is mentioned in chapter 11. This Old Testament figure is an interesting example of the instructions that we will be given today. Last week, Benji talked about the earth being shaken. When God shakes the earth, there are things that will crumble and be destroyed, while other things remain standing firm, unshakable. When I was a young adult, a big shaking happened in my life. You see, I had been a good teenager. I didn't mess around with boys or substances or bad language or pop culture. I believed in God, got good grades, and was kind to my peers. But to be quite honest, I struggled with understanding the cross. Of course, I knew I wasn't perfect, but man, death on a brutal cross felt really extreme for my little sins. I understood why those big-time sinners needed the cross, but why me? I'm good at following the rules. I'm someone who could be called a nice religious person. But let me tell you, the first time I read the Bible entirely through as an adult, the Old Testament wrecked me. God's standards felt higher than I could climb, and his judgments felt heavier than I could lift. There were rules that I had never followed, rules that I never even knew about. The Old Testament shook my belief that I could follow the rules to the kingdom of God. And then when I read the New Testament all the way through, it shook that sneaky, prideful belief that being a good religious person made me better than those big-time sinners. You see, some of the teachers in Jesus' day were called the Pharisees, and these Pharisees were good religious people. Yet Jesus often warned them that they were lacking. One example is in Luke, when a Pharisee invites Jesus into his house, and he becomes disgusted that Jesus let a sinful woman wash and kiss his feet. Jesus tells a Pharisee that this sinner with a huge debt to be paid loved him a lot, whereas the law-following Pharisee with smaller sins loved him very little. Many of the Pharisees also complained that Jesus ate and spent time with the big-time sinners, like the prostitutes and tax collectors. Jesus responds to their self-righteousness by saying, "I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you didn't believe him, while tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sins." Matthew 21:31-32. Ouch. I hate to admit it, but these words challenge me. It can be shocking and difficult for good religious people to hear that the biggest of sinners may actually be closer to the kingdom of God. Many of those big-time sinners, those the world deems unworthy, they believed the message of Jesus and were added to the kingdom of God. After I read through the entire Bible, a lot was shaken, and the only thing left standing to reach God was the cross. The bottom line is that Jesus is the unshakable foundation who freely offers to save both the religious Pharisee and the big-time sinner. So with all that in mind, let's revisit this story from Hebrews 11. When the Hebrew people marched around the city of Jericho, God caused this unbelieving, sinful city to shake. The towering walls built by human hands crumbled and fell. Jericho looked strong, but its strength failed because it was not built on the unshakable things of God. Still, there was one person, a big-time sinner, who was not destroyed with the city. She chose to hold on to the unshakable pillar of God. Let's see what the text says about this unlikely hero of faith. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Rahab is the last person who is specifically discussed in the Hall of Faith from chapter 11, using both her name and her deed mentioned. Yet Rahab is an unlikely hero. Pharisees would probably struggle a little to accept her. She was a foreign, pagan woman living in an evil city and making money with a despised, sinful occupation. But here she is, Rahab from Jericho, listed among Abraham and Joseph and Moses. Now, there's a lot we don't know about this woman of faith. But it seems that she ran her own business in Jericho, which included lodging in her home for the night. Her neighbors and even the city guard were probably used to seeing travelers enter and exit her door. To help us understand why a foreign sinner would be included among the faithful, let's go to Joshua chapter 2 and read Rahab's full story. Then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp at Acacia Grove. He instructed them, "Scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho." So the two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. But someone told the king of Jericho, "Some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, "Bring out the men who have come into your house, for they have come here to spy out the whole land." Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, "Yes, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. They left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch up with them." Actually, she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath bundles of flax she had laid out. So the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossings of the Jordan River. And as soon as the king's men had left, the gate of Jericho was shut. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof to talk with them. "I know the Lord has given you this land," she told them. "We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live, along with my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all their families. We offer our own lives as guarantee for your safety, the men agreed. If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise and be kind to you when the Lord gives us the land. Then, since Rahab's house was built into the town wall, she let them down by a rope through the window. Escape to the hill country, she told them. Hide there for 3 days from the men searching for you. Then, when they have returned, you can go your way. Before they left, the men told her, We will be bound by the oath we have taken, only if you follow these instructions. When you come into the land, you must leave the scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you let us down. And all your family members, your father, mother, brothers, and all your relatives must be inside the house. If they go out in the street and are killed, it will not be our fault. But if anyone lays a hand on the people inside this house, we will accept the responsibility for their death. If you betray us, however, we are not bound by this oath in any way. I accept your terms, she replied. And she sent them on their way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging from the window. From this encounter, we can notice several things likely true about Rahab. She was a collector of information and was skilled at both negotiation and communication. Rahab knew how to survive. Yet in this instance, she risked her immediate safety by hiding the spies and lying to the authorities sent by the king. Rahab could have chosen to be an instant hero of the town. She could have handed the Hebrew spies over to the guard to save herself in the short term. But there was something that she was more afraid of than her king or his guard. Rahab confesses that the whole city is terrified because they had heard about the parting of the Red Sea and the destruction of two Amorite kingdoms. She then professes that the God of Israel was the most powerful God over heaven and earth. Rahab threw away her loyalty to the city of Jericho and aligned herself with God and his people. She saved the spies with the hope that she too would be saved. But Rahab was not content saving only her own neck. She asked for the lives of her parents and siblings and their families to be spared as well. When the spies return to camp safely and they report everything back to Joshua, the Israelites are emboldened to follow God's directions and overtake Jericho. As the walls of the city crumbled, Joshua made sure that their promise to Rahab was kept. As we continue the story, Joshua 6 says, Meanwhile, Joshua said to the two spies, Keep your promise. Go to the prostitute's house and bring her out, along with all her family. The men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, mother, brothers, and all the other relatives who were with her. They moved her whole family to a safe place near the camp of Israel. Then the Israelites burned the town and everything in it. Only the things made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. So Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute and her relatives who were with her in the house, because she had hidden the spies Joshua sent to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. Rahab and her family are rescued from the destruction of Jericho. They set up camp next to the Israelites, and Rahab lives out the rest of her days with the people of God. Yes, her past was sinful, but in her new life, she's counted among the heroes of faith. James in the New Testament also esteems her position. In James chapter 2, he states, Rahab the prostitute is another example of faith in action. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Rahab is an example of faith in action. She confesses belief with her mouth in the supreme God, and this belief leads her to risk her own life to save the two spies. So now that we've remembered Rahab's story, let's flesh out how she can be an example to us through these verses in Hebrews chapter 13. This chapter begins with a string of rapid instructions. It feels like the author knows we're about to part ways, and he wants us to remember several important points before we go. The first instruction is, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. We don't know how Rahab's family treated her or whether they approved of her big-time sins. We do know that Rahab pleaded for her brothers and sisters and their families to be saved along with her. The next instruction, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Rahab may not have entertained angels like Abraham and Lot, but she did show hospitality to the Hebrew strangers. She kept them safe, hid them, gave them rest, likely fed them, and created a plan to help them escape. The third instruction, remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated, as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Rahab likely knew what it felt to be mistreated. I believe this passage shows that her pain led her to have compassion for others. While we don't have direct text connecting Rahab to prisoners or the mistreated, we do know that her son Boaz treated his employees honorably and was very kind and generous to the poor, grieving, foreign widow, Ruth, who came to his fields desperate for food. Number four, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Rahab's first life did not honor marriage. She participated in immorality and adultery as a business in her city. And God's judgment was coming. But Rahab repented before the judgment came. She shifted her allegiance from Jericho to the coming Jerusalem. In turn, Rahab's entire destiny changed. In Matthew chapter 1, we are given the lineage from Abraham to David to Jesus. And this is what verse 5 and 6 say. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. Rahab's new life consisted of being married into the family of God, being an ancestral mother of the Son of God. Not only did she become the great-great-grandmother of King David, she also is one of the few women mentioned by name in the family line of Jesus. At first, Rahab was counted among the immoral who were going to be judged by death and fire. But her story changed. She became an honored hero of faith in the direct family line of Jesus. Now, there's more to visit next week in Hebrews 13, but here's our last direct instruction for today. Verse 5 tells us, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. We don't know if Rahab loved money in Jericho. We do know that she could have asked for money in exchange for helping the spies, but she didn't. Rahab simply asked for what she already had, her life and her family's lives. Rahab loved the people in her life more than the possibility of riches. Our last verse today in Hebrews 13 ends with, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Rahab feared God more than she feared the king of Jericho. She chose to put her trust in the God who parted the Red Sea and drowned Pharaoh's army over the mere humans who might destroy her for harboring enemy spies. Rahab's hospitality and help to the spies reminds me of Matthew 10. Just like the two spies are sent by Joshua, Jesus sent out his disciples in groups of two to share the good news of Jesus. A new king was coming. A new kingdom was coming to overthrow the old kingdom of sin and darkness. The same call Rahab received to leave her old life for God's kingdom still echoes today. And this is what the king says. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Anyone who receives you receives me. And anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. If you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. And if you receive righteous people because of their righteousness, you will be given a reward like theirs. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. Matthew 10, 38 through 42. Rahab gave up her old life for the promise of a new one. Her life was spared along with her family, who listened to her warning to come and seek refuge under the protection of her scarlet rope. Like the red streaks of blood on the door frames of Egypt, death passed over Rahab and her family because they chose to join a new kingdom. Rahab is a testament of faith, good works, and evangelism. She believed in God, received the people of God through acts of kindness and sacrifice, and then told others about the new kingdom and how to be saved from the coming destruction. Though the Bible reminds us of her sinful past, her honored inclusion in the text and her marriage into the line of David and Jesus are evidence that she lived a new way of life with the people of God. For any listening who have a Rahab past, there is new life and new hope in Jesus. The God who was there at creation showed compassion and love toward both the prostitutes and the tax collectors. He welcomed them to the kingdom of God and forgave their sins. For those of us who have a Pharisee past, there is also hope of new life. Like the people of God who welcomed Rahab's family to leave Jericho's destruction, we can be inviting and loving to those who don't look like us, talk like us, know like us, or live like us. we can humbly open our communities and love the outsider. Rahab offered hospitality and protection to foreign believers trapped in Jericho. And then the people of God offered hospitality and protection to her family as they escaped Jericho. Rahab's faith and courage saved many lives, not just for this world, but also for the eternal kingdom. Brothers and sisters, our world is full of people right now who need to be saved from the world of darkness and the coming judgment on sin. And our King wants the good person and the big time sinner to be saved from the fires of death and hell. God's kingdom welcomes the insider and the outsider, the former Pharisee and the former prostitute. So no matter how the walls around us are shaking and crumbling right now, believe like Rahab that the supreme God never fails or abandons those who trust him. Let's end by speaking Hebrews 13:6 over our lives. We can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" Let's pray. God, thank you for the story of Rahab. Thank you that you offer us new life, that you offer a new kingdom and a way out of destruction and a way out of sin. God, I ask that our hearts will be humble before you and will be open to all those around us who want to know you more, who want to follow you, who want to be a part of your kingdom. God, help us to open our doors and to be open to your spirit as you lead us to others who need to know your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.